Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. And today we're going to talk about the Bengals and the Steelers. And there's a lot of good things we're going to talk about. And then the national championship game, the Green Bay Packers and the Redskins, Seattle's improbable win. It was, I just totally enjoy this time of year with NFL football. The one thing that bothered me, well, there's several things that bothered me about Saturday's games, and I'll talk about it. But first I want to talk about the Green Bay Packer-Washington game. Green Bay ended up winning this game. They came out sluggish, down 2-0. Aaron Rodgers sacked in the end zone. He's frustrated. And then they're down 11-0 after, down 5-0 when DeSean Jackson should have scored and didn't. And they still for a field goal, which was huge. They didn't get away from the game didn't get away from them. Eventually, Cousins takes them down the field, scores 11-0. The crowd is going crazy. You think Green Bay's in trouble. But then a switch goes off. And Rodgers and company, they go off the rest of the game. They drive down the field. Cobb scores. They're in business. They're seriously in business. And then they get the ball back, and they get a field goal. So now it's 11-10. And then the all-important score before the end of the half, which is huge. And I thought that was really, really big, that they scored before the end of the half, and they scored a touchdown to take the lead. Devontae Adams, who dropped a lot of passes, scored a touchdown from Aaron Rodgers, and now Green Bay has full momentum. To the Redskins' credit, they come back the first drive in the second half and come all the way down the field. Kirk Cousins is still feeling really good. They score. It's 18-17. Then Green Bay comes back and answers. And this was how they answered, and this was big. They rammed from that point on, from the third quarter on, they ran the ball down the Washington Redskins' throat. Between Starks and Adams, Starks and Lacy, they ran the ball all the way down the field. It was 4th-and-1. Lacy gets a yard, and then Lacy gets 30 yards on the next play, all the way down the field. Stark scores 24-18 Green Bay. Then they get after Cousins. And Clay Matthews says, this is what Green Bay, this is where coaching took place. They moved, they didn't have him just a middle linebacker. They had Clay Matthews all over the field. All over the field. And the Skins didn't know where to block and set their blocking schemes for Clay Matthews. And he got sacks. He was disruptive. Julius Peppers played good. They caused Cousins to fumble. Now Cousins is a little off now. And for the rest of the game, he struggled. Green Bay gets the ball back after a fumble. And after that, it's Lacy, Starks, Lacy all the way down the field for a touchdown to make it 31-18. And what they did, then they got the ball back, and what they did, they ran the ball every down. Every down. Aaron Rodgers didn't even pass it the next possession. And they ran it all the way down into the end zone for a touchdown to make it, with a two-point conversion, 32-18. They had a field goal, and that was game. And this is a big confidence boost for the Packers. And the Packers said, listen, they're probably thinking, listen, we went this route to win a Super Bowl. We went the wild card route and won every game. So we beat the NFC East team like they did before. They beat the Eagles, now they beat the Redskins. Now we're going into a team that's heavily favored. Atlanta was. And then they'll take on a team they're familiar with in Carolina or Seattle. But it's a long way from there. I still think the Arizona Cardinals are going to beat Green Bay, but Green Bay's going to be a lot tougher. They got a better mindset. Green Bay could beat Phoenix, Arizona. If Aaron Rodgers is hot, and they're going to run. If Lacy and Starks going to run, they're going to beat Arizona. I'm not sure. I'm going back and forth on that game. Arizona's home, and they're hungry, and they're trying to get back to another Super Bowl. But I'm not. I don't want to bet against Aaron Rodgers either. So I got to think about that one before I make my prediction. I have my show next Saturday morning, and we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And but anyway, we get to the next game. That's Minnesota and Seattle. And this is what was very interesting. It's a defense struggle. Minnesota played a lot better. They really completely shut down the Seattle Seahawks. They didn't have Luke Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. So it was just a ball with a double ball. And it was 9-0 into the third quarter. That's when Russell Wilson got going. And I'm going to tell you, the biggest play of the entire game, they were driving. The ball gets snapped over Russell Wilson's head. The drive is going to end, but he somehow grabs the ball, finds Lockett on a pass. Lockett gets the first down. They're at the goal line. Then he throws. And what happens is it touchdown pass to Doug Baldwin. It's 9-7. They get the ball back on an Adrian Peterson fumble. It's 10-9. Minnesota comes down the field, ready to win the game. But Walsh, who's been one of the best kickers in the NFL for a long time, made a lot of kicks in this game, made 3 kicks, under pressure, into the wind, misses a chip shot, and somehow Seattle wins. And it doesn't make up for that debacle in the Super Bowl where Pete Carroll and their offensive coordinator made the dumbest call in Super Bowl history, not running Lynch. But it probably makes them feel a little better and gives them hope. Because they just want to get back. They want to somehow figure out how the way to get back to the Super Bowl. And if they could right that wrong, that really removes the stench of the Super Bowl. And then it gives you good memories. Then you're 2-1 in Super Bowls, and you're thinking we should have repeated. But now that we have 2 Super Bowls in the bank, it helps with legacies. It really, you know, you're happy you win a Super Bowl, but you don't want that memory of the debacle against New England to be on your tombstone. You want another Super Bowl to remove that stench. And they could do it, but it's going to be extremely difficult to walk into Carolina to defeat the Carolina Panthers and Luke Kuechly and Cam Newton playing his best. And they have to take away some of their swagger of Carolina. They're going to have to come in there and hit them in the mouth. And they were hitting Minnesota now. Minnesota's hitting back. It was a great game. In the cold, it was a good old-school playoff football game. And somehow Seattle survived. And they got a lot of championship medals, which I love. And that's what I absolutely love about this team, that they have a championship heart and mettle, and they know how to win. I mean, they got lucky yesterday, but they found a way. Now I want to talk about the Steeler game, the Steelers and the Bengals Saturday night, and that nonsensical ending. It was a really hard-nosed, hard-fought game. There wasn't really a lot of hostilities during the game. The Steelers had a 15-0 lead, and the Bengals are fighting. And then a play occurred where Giovanni Bernard catches the ball in the flat, and Ryan Shazier pops him really hard. Now, he does land with the helmet, but it was a legal play because he's a runner. Now, I think all helmet plays should be a flag. Even though they didn't flag it, they probably should change the rule. But you couldn't, on a bang-bang play like that, when you initially watch it, it doesn't look as bad. But it was, they showed a replay, it was helmet-to-helmet. He fumbles the ball, and Shazier recovers it. It should have been called a touchdown, but it wasn't. Got to put the game away. And but it incited the Bengals. It fired them up, but it also drove them out of control. Because Jeremy Hill was out of control. Even when he scored, he's acting crazy. And Vontaze Burfict has been out of control his whole career, even going back to Arizona days. And he sacked Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger was hurt his shoulder, so Landry Jones is in the game. A.J. McCarron comes down, does a fantastic job of leading them down the field for a touchdown. They get another stop. A.J. McCarron comes right back down, leads them to another touchdown to give them the lead. And this is where the game should have ended. This is where the Bengals should have celebrated their first playoff win since 1991. Landry Jones throws a pick to Burfict. Idiotically runs the opposite way all the way through into the courier door. Now, if he wasn't down, that would have been a safety and Steelers would have won. He idiotically did that. And it was the Bengals' ball. So they get a chance to run out the clock, and Burfict can be the hero, but he's still completely out of control, remind you. And Jeremy Hill fumbles because he's angry. He's running angry. He's mad. He just wants to get revenge on the Steelers. He's not even thinking about the consequences of fumbling, and he ends up fumbling. And the Steelers get the ball back. But they're at the 11-yard line. They have three timeouts. But it's a long way to go against a really good Bengals defense. But Roethlisberger comes back in, and he can only throw short because of his hurt shoulder. And the Bengals Marvin Lewis didn't tell his defense, listen, we could flood the zone, take away the short pass. But no, they allowed short passes to the Steeler running backs, Todman and Toussaint, who were the unsung heroes of this game, because they ran the ball well to set up all those field goals. They did run the ball well. And they moved the ball, but they weren't quite in field goal range until the pass to Antonio Brown, and Burfict lands his kill shot. A shoulder-to-helmet shot that was unnecessary because the ball went past Brown. He was hunting after. He was looking to hurt somebody, and he knocked Brown out of the game. But then it sets up the ball, I think, near the 35 or inside the 35. But then Joey Porter comes on the field, and he should have. He could come on the field and check his injured player, but he shouldn't have talked. But that shouldn't have incited Pac-Man Jones to run over to get in the face of the ref and lay his hands on the ref. I don't know if it's a mistake or not, but once you touch the ref like that, it's automatic penalty. And you can't let – with the end of the game, you got a chance to go to the playoffs. You can't be that selfish where you want to trash talk so bad that you care more about that than the game. And there's another 15-yard penalty. And Boswell kicks the field goal, and that's game. And the Steelers move on, and the Bengals go home. And this was the worst – I'm trying to think of a worst choke job in NFL history in the playoffs. Because the Hail Mary, that was a great play by Dallas, so I can't say that was the biggest choke job by the Vikings. Minnesota yesterday, that was bad. Bengals had this game won. The Vikings had a game one. They had to kick a field goal. The Vikings, in 98, when Anderson missed a kick, they had the game almost won. This game was over. The Bengals are moving on to New England if they just play with any kind of sense and brain work. And Pac-Man Jones didn't, and the Steelers win. And this is the problem with the Bengals. They have an obsession with the Steelers, and it gets them to such a crazy emotional pitch that they can't think straight. And it makes them crazy. And you can't play this game crazy. You can play with emotion. Look at Clay Matthews. He plays hard and furious, but not crazy. And Vontaze Burfict plays crazy, and he's a dangerous person, and he's a menace. And he also tried to hurt a Carolina player. And you know what's going to happen with Vontaze Burfict? If he's unapologetic, he decides he wants to continue to be a thug and a hoodlum on the field, there's going to be a team that's going to put a special bounty out, and they're going to take his legs out. And you don't want to see that, but you have to protect your own players. And now the word is out, this guy is a menace. And the Bengals should cut him, but I don't know if they are. And the problem I have with Marvin Lewis, he's just sitting there like an ostrich watching this whole thing to go down. He couldn't control his own players. And the players were out of control, and he had to get them together and be like, cut it out. He couldn't do that. He didn't do that. In the press conference, he came off like a wimp. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was a bad call. Maybe it was a good call. I mean, come on. And this is what bothered me. And I'm going to bring this up. The Houston Texans got blown out in the other game by Kansas City, 30 to nothing. Brian Hoyer throws 5 interceptions. Brian Hoyer sits at that press conference and talks like a man. I messed up. Walsh misses a kick for the Minnesota Vikings. He sits there after the press conference. I messed up. Gruden and Cousins sit there in the press conference. Well, okay, we got beat. We could have did better. But not Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones walking away from the press. Vontaze Burfict, I don't know. He came off like an ignoramus. He came off like a guy that has a GED, not somebody that went to Arizona State. He came off like a guy that went to, if he went to Arizona State, the way he acted, they must have did his classes for him. His counselors must have took his classes for him. He came off like the dumbest person on the planet Earth. I mean, you're wearing a wife beater at the press conference. You were the reason the Bengals are not advancing. You sold me, you and Pac-Man Jones. You two cowards did not step up and do what you had to do. And he didn't do it. So yeah, that is the story of it all here at the Coast to Coast Radio with Ron Fitch. Now, tomorrow on my show, we're going to talk Alabama-Clemson. And before I get to Alabama-Clemson, I want one more final thought. Pac-Man Jones is better than that because he's had a lot of history, but he's a husband with kids. You have to sit there and take accountability. Imagine free agent, I wouldn't touch him. Perfect, forget it. I would cut him. He was undrafted. Bengals have always had a history of grabbing up knuckleheads, and they got to change their history. Because I feel bad for A.J. McCarron, who played Gary, A.J. Green, Andy Dalton. There's a lot of good guys on the Bengals. They're not all a bunch of thugs, but they do have half the team is a bunch of hoodlums, and they got to eliminate that hoodlum mentality. Now, say for instance, they would beat the Steelers. The way they acted, they would have went to, as immature as they were, they went to New England and got destroyed because they wouldn't have even been into the New England game. They'd have been so happy to beat the Steelers, they'd have celebrated all week. They were too immature to go up to Foxborough. But I tell you what, Kansas City's going up to Foxborough. And they're winners of 11 in a row. And it's going to be interesting because that's the place where, now, New England played Kansas City last year. Kansas City destroyed them so bad that they were talking about benching. I'm Brady. So you know Brady's going to be fired up. But Kansas City's going to be fired up, so that's going to be a fun game Saturday. Now on to the national championship game, where we got Alabama versus Clemson. And this is going to be a fun game. Dabo Sweeney versus Nick Saban. I had no idea they were close. I didn't know they were that close of a friends, and they go fishing together in the summertime. But I'm going to tell you the key to this game is to exploit what could be a weakness of the Alabama defense. If you look at Nick Marshall, you look at Bo Wallace, you look at Cam Newton, you look at Cardale Jones, they're all scrambling quarterbacks who are run-pass option-type quarterbacks. And this is the best in college football because he has 312 passing yards and over 1,000 rushing yards. And he's going to have to be on this game. He was a little inaccurate against Oklahoma. That ain't working against Bama. And what Bama did, they went away from the run a little bit against Michigan State because Michigan State loaded up the box to stop Derrick Henry. They're going to have to run Derrick Henry. They're going to have to see if they could run on Clemson's defense. Now, these are the top two teams in defensive efficiency. So it might not be that high-scoring game you think, but you never know because Coker passed the ball well to Calvin Ridley, Adarius Stewart, and Richard Mulaney. And those three guys were good. And they did it with the short pass. It's like a short pass, almost like a run play, but it was a short pass in the backfield. They might do that because of Clemson's pass rush and how fast Clemson is. And I'm going to tell you something. Clemson's not going to be scared. Michigan State, I could tell by the way that Coach acted. He kind of acted really weird in the pregame press, the pregame interview. I knew Michigan was spooked by Alabama, not Clemson. But Dabo Swinney, they believe they're coming here to win. They're coming in with a chip on their shoulder. They're coming in thinking we're going to win this game today. We're going to be national champions. This is going to be our first national championship since 1981. Alabama's on a mission to right that wrong last year when they had a 15-point lead against a similar team in Ohio State, and they blew it. And Kirby Smart and Nick Saban have to dial up the right plays. And I think they're going to have balance. They're going to run, but it's going to be hard running against the Clemson defense. And this is where Coker's going to have to be on. And Ken, this is the key. Ken's Arterius Scott and Renfrow and those guys make enough plays in the passing game. And then maybe Gallman can run a little bit. He had 1,300 yards rushing. It's not going to be easy to rush against Bama. Maybe a little here and there to keep him honest. But Watson's running is going to be huge. Ah, man, this is a pick'em game. It's that close. I think Alabama's going to squeak by on a last-second field goal. And that's my prediction. And we're going to see if that holds true or not. You know, and as far as the NBA is concerned, before I leave you, what's happening is now that Cleveland's getting their sea legs because of Kyrie Irving is getting acclimated back to the offense with LeBron and Love, and now they're starting to click, and they're starting to get their championship swagger set up, and they're on. And, you know, San Antonio. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard's carrying a load with Aldridge. And that allows the older guys to just kind of coast. And they're only four back of Golden State with six losses. So if you're Golden State, you better keep winning. You better. It's a gaudy record you got. You better keep winning. You do not want to go to San Antonio for game one of the conference finals. You want game seven in your building, just like the Clippers had game seven in their building. And if they could get to game seven, I would like to think Golden State, the West is tough, but not as tough as it used to be. It is not as balanced. You have really Golden State and San Antonio are the superior teams in the Western Conference. OKC is missing one more. They're one more guy away from being that team. I don't think they're on the Spurs level. They would run into the Spurs if they had the playoffs. The Clippers are the Clippers. I don't believe in them. Golden State will do what they always do. If they even get past the Mavericks. The Mavericks are a good veteran team. I give them a chance. The Grizzlies don't have enough. And Houston's a mess. Utah's young. If Utah gets in and plays Golden State, maybe gets a game, that's good for experience. So if you're Utah, you want to get in the playoffs. As far as the East is concerned, I'm still waiting to see. Pat Riley's making a move. I still believe in Miami. I don't believe in Atlanta. And Toronto is too much of a street ball team. The Bulls are good, but I'd never in my heart feel like it would ever beat the Cavaliers, ever in a big spot. The Pistons are interesting because they're a veteran team that's been there before. And I'm loving the Knicks. I love Porzingis. This kid can really play. I'm really rooting for them to get that AC and run it to Cleveland. That would be awesome. So there it is. Tomorrow's show will be all about Bama and Clemson.